Robert Mugabe heads to Tanzania today for a meeting with other African leaders in the region. Up to now, they've rarely spoken out publicly against his repressive rule. But before Mugabe became what Nobel Peace Prize laureate Desmond Tutu has called a cartoon figure of an African dictator, he was a revered freedom fighter. To understand how Mugabe made that turn, we reached Andrew Meldrum in Johannesburg. He reported from Zimbabwe for Britain's Observer and Guardian newspapers for 23 years until Mugabe expelled all foreign journalists in 2003. What was it that he did, perhaps in those early years, that might be called really good for Zimbabwe?
He maintained an economy that was growing, that provided good jobs, and that was stable. In those days, the rest of southern Africa was in turmoil. In apartheid South Africa, Angola was racked by civil war, Mozambique was racked by civil war, and Zimbabwe was prosperous. And so it was really a beacon for all of southern Africa saying, look, you too can have a multiracial democracy and prosperity.
So he became president, and one of the first things he did was reach out to the whites, who were an economic power, if no longer such a political power. That, at the time, seemed like a very good thing to do.
It seemed like a very wise, statesman-like thing to do, and Robert Mugabe became renowned internationally. But in fact, it was something that was really in name only. As his rule continued, when his leadership was questioned, when opposition to his rule grew, he found the whites to be a very handy scapegoat.
In those early days, wasn't Robert Mugabe also very brutal to his black opposition?
Yes, people voted for him because they felt that he was the most ruthless of the guerrilla leaders who were fighting against Rhodesian rule. In the early years, when his party was challenged by an opposition party, Mugabe sent the 5th Brigade of his army into the southern part of Zimbabwe, Matabeleland, from 1983 to 1987. It's estimated that 20,000 civilians were killed in the army's brutal campaign. So that was Robert Mugabe showing he was not afraid to use violence against anyone who would challenge his party.
For the most part, leaders of other African countries have kept pretty quiet about what Robert Mugabe's been doing. What's that all about?
They have kept very quiet, particularly South African President Thabo Mbeki. And that is about, I think, the solidarity that they feel. Remember, Robert Mugabe was an iconic hero who ended white minority rule. And Zimbabwe's independence helped pave the way for South Africa to overthrow apartheid. So they were loath to criticize a leader who stood at the forefront of the liberation movement. But I believe that that is coming to an end. This meeting in Tanzania with other leaders from southern Africa, they have privately already told Robert Mugabe that he must moderate his policies and that he must retire. And now that Mugabe has said that he's prepared to stand for another 6-year term, which would end in 2014 when he was 90, now those African leaders are preparing to tell him in no uncertain terms, Robert Mugabe, you must retire. And I think this is really a turning point in Robert Mugabe's power.
You think he would listen at this point in time?
No, I don't think he would listen, actually. He's very stubborn, and I think he'll say, you're all poodles of the Western powers of Britain and the United States, and if I must go it alone, then I will. But I think that he is going to put himself in a very dangerous position, because also this week he comes back to Harare and has a meeting with his own party. And even within Mugabe's own party, people know things are wrong, and it's because of Robert Mugabe's rule at the top, and we've got to get the old man to go. He's 83 years old. It's time for him to go.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Renee.
Journalist Andrew Meldrum is the author of the book Where We Have Hope, A Memoir of Zimbabwe.